Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and as you probably know, Mayor de Blasio has a plan to close Rikers Island over the next few years, relying more on jails in each borough. The Bronx has become a flashpoint for resistance to new jail cells, and the mayor didn't even propose any for Staten Island. But is the fear based on reality? Is the opposition based on reality? With us now to help answer that question is Harry DiPrinzio, a reporter with City Limits magazine, whose new article is called The Jail Next Door, a look at the 14 jail correctional facilities in New York's neighborhoods. Harry, welcome to WNYC.
Hi, thank you.
And also with us on the phone is Michael Johnson, co-founder of South Bronx Unite, a community advocacy group that's been organizing opposition to the jail site proposals for the South Bronx. Michael, welcome to you to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian.
So, Harry, first of all, to the subtitle of your article, a look at the 14 jail correctional facilities in New York's neighborhoods. There are 14 jails around New York City?
Yes.
In addition to Rikers Island.
I was definitely surprised to learn that as I dug into it. I even found a new one that I really didn't even know about at the beginning of looking into it, a private correctional facility in Queens. They're located in residential neighborhoods, industrial neighborhoods, busy commercial centers, and they're part of, you know, the New York City Department of Corrections, but also the state, federal, and both city and state juvenile systems.
So what questions were you looking to answer by examining the context of these 14 neighborhood correctional facilities?
So I was looking to both shine a light on the, you know, various forms of incarceration that exist throughout the city, often in our backyards, but also dig into this conversation about the new Bronx jail, which the city has proposed two sites for, both of which have been met with fierce opposition from the community, and look at, you know, what does a jail really mean for a community? I wanted to listen to those people in the South Bronx, but also look at the existing facilities and see what that's like.
And I'm curious if we have any listeners right now who live, and maybe you don't even know you live, near one of these 14 jails or correctional facilities around the city of New York, other than Rikers Island. If you do, if you know that you do, what, if anything, is the impact on your neighborhood? 212-433-WNYC, particular shout out. This is one of these caller invitations that I have no idea if we have even one person listening in the audience who actually fits the description. But if you know that you live near one of the 14 neighborhood-based correctional facilities in New York City, call up and tell us what, good, bad, neutral, is any impact that that facility has on your immediate community. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. So, Michael Johnson, co-founder of South Bronx Unite, your group has been organizing against the mayor's proposal to establish a jail site in the South Bronx. One of the proposed locations is the site of a city tow lot in Mott Haven. I guess an alternative is to build one a little farther north near the Bronx County Courthouse. Give us your basic argument against these sites and what you think the impact would be.
Well, thank you. Well, to answer your first question, Brian, I'm one of those residents who live in a community where they live close to one of these detention facilities.
Uh-huh.
We already have a juvenile detention facility right in Mott Haven. Then we have the Baines Detention Facility in Hunts Point. We're the only community that's being recognized to produce a new facility, new construction of a new jail, would mean we would have three facilities within a mile and a half of each other in the poorest congressional district in the United States. So, you know, why we are rejecting this plan is because it's like all the others that are that have caused so much harm in decades for the South Bronx, which top-down planning that does not engage community residents when they're discussing a potential proposal like this and what that would mean to families and our children and the residents who have been struggling for decades to bring to stabilize our neighborhood.
Do you feel that there has been a detrimental impact or more than one of the two existing facilities on the neighborhood?
Definitely. I think, of course, you know, first I want to mention that, you know, we have to have a real sense of care and fairness and humanity as pertains to the brothers and sisters who are in these justice system, in the justice system, and that we think that, you know, what the impact has been is that it's become normalized to our residents and to our children to have these type of facilities right next door to where they go to school or where they go recreate in parks. And what are we teaching our children if that's normalized? That institutionalizing them is the way of the future, or is it bettering their educational outcomes? And we see too much money put into these types of facilities, but no monies are putting into not even the equivalent of income or revenue is being put into sustaining, increasing quality of life and educational and income outcomes of our residents.
So that's one contrast. Let me linger on that for a second. One contrast you're bringing up is the appearance that the city is spending a lot of money to place jails in the neighborhood, but not spending a lot of money on sort of positive role model kind of institutions, if that's a decent way to put it, in the neighborhood. But what about, there's an argument that grassroots people make against having all these state prisons, you know, upstate at Attica or the Adirondacks or whatever, when most of the inmates are coming from the five boroughs, frankly, and that people should be housed closer to home as a better way to treat people who do find themselves behind bars with a better chance of reintegrating because they'll be in more contact with their families, et cetera, and that it's just more more compassionate to keep people near their families, near their homes, rather than ship them off to, Tupper Lake upstate or something like that. So what do you say to that?
A large percentage of the population is nonviolent crimes. The population has decreased over the last 10 years in more than half. It was 21,000 in 1991. Now there's 9,000, right? So we can reduce those numbers even more so those folks are even closer to home by being at home, right, using alternatives to incarceration rather than building new jails and finding ways to fill them. I mean, if you just look at what happened in the South Bronx, you know, and I know things are happening upstate and folks want their people closer to home. I think they would rather than be home, to be at home. But when we put $352 million in a new criminal courthouse, we put $51 million into a new 40th precinct police department, we put $170 million in a Horizon Juvenile Detention Center to be accommodating more adolescents coming from Rikers, and they're going to put much more money added to all that together to build a new facility in our community. So why not find alternatives to incarceration, which there already are, you know, rather than trying to say the solution is bringing people closer to where they live, so we can put jails in there right next to schools and public housing, and creating a dynamic that's normalizing the situation, and we can create alternatives.
And let me go back to Harry DiPrinzio, reporter with City Limits, whose new article is called "The Jail Next Door: A Look at the 14 Jail Correctional Facilities in New York's Neighborhoods." I see you took a dive into the recommendations of the Independent Commission on this, headed by the former Chief Judge of New York State, Jonathan Lippmann, which recommended his commission that the city close Rikers. What was his take on these neighborhood jails?
Sure. So the neighborhood jail proposal is something that came out of the Lippmann Commission as a group of experts, community leaders from throughout the city. And they're calling for a system of borough-based jails that integrate with the courthouse in each borough to facilitate transfer between jail and trial. And to do that, we have to get the population in Rikers down to about 5,000, I believe. And the idea behind the borough-based jails is that they're smaller, they're more humane, they're more accountable to their communities, but there are also a lot of questions that go into making those happen.
Let's take a phone call. Christina in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Thank you so much for calling in.
Morning. I just wanted to let, I don't know if it's germane, but you asked about people, how it impacts the neighborhood. Uh-huh. On the North Central Park North, My understanding is that I think it's a women's facility on the north side of between like 5th and 6th Avenue on Central Park North, 110th Street in Manhattan. And I have to commute past there a lot, and always in the mornings in particular, which is my commute, so I see it then, but I don't know how much more of the day is spent like this, but there's always a double parked cars, and it's only one lane going east and one lane going west on Central Park North. So when they double park all these cars and trucks and buses have to get around them, they have to go into the oncoming lane, and it messes up the commute because it's a really it's already a bottleneck.
So traffic.
Traffic is but double parking. Why are they allowed to double park? Like
Christina,
that?
Thank you very much. Actually, you refer to that facility in your article, Harry, right?
Yes.
And it's not just for women, right?
It's a state facility. It's designed to, it currently houses inmates who are eligible for work release. So those inmates are leaving the facility every day, going to a job, reporting back at night, often reporting back, actually staying somewhere else and reporting back maybe once or twice a week.
And why did you bring that one into
it? I brought
that
one up because...
Is it emblematic of something?
Exactly. It's a facility where the inmates are in the community. And... they are, if there's any place where, you know, crime might happen because of a correctional facility, I thought that might be one because the inmates are actually out and about. And talking to residents nearby, you know, most of them knew the facility was there, but they didn't really sense anything besides that parking concern. That's something I definitely heard. But, you know, it blends in with the surrounding buildings, and those inmates, they're going out to do their jobs. They're about to, you know, be released and sent home in 2 years. They don't want to make any mistakes. They're not going to be involved in crime.
Here's another call from that same neighborhood about that same facility. Brian on 110th Street. Hi, Brian. You're on WNYC.
Hi, Brian. It's great to be on your show again. And is it the Lincoln Correctional Facility, as I understand it, is a work release program. Your guest just gave the information I was about to give, and the other guest about the double parking. I actually think that it probably makes this particular facility make the neighborhood safer because, as we said, if you're about to get released, it's about the last time that you would want to get picked up for something. I've never had any problems with it. It sort of blends in, except for there are lots of iron grates and stuff on the building. I've been here for 20 years, and I've never had any problems with it.
Thank you very much. Bob in Rego Park, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Brian. What I'd like to say, you know, my wife works at LaGuardia College, beautiful community on Van Damme Street. Right across the street, which this gentleman is probably familiar with, there's a correction institute. There's a high school across the street from that. Wouldn't it be better close it down, make that part of LaGuardia College, let the inmates educate them and stop spending $1 billion wastefully on imprisoning people who nonviolent crimes are being placed in these places?
Is there, since your wife works at LaGuardia College and you say the prison is across the street, I get your social justice point. Wouldn't it be better to send people to college than to jail? But what about the impact of the facility on the college community? Is there any that you hear of?
Well, nothing specific I fear, but it's a huge building. The corrections officers park on the sidewalk. It's jammed up. It's just an eyesore, and it doesn't belong in a community. It's an example, not a good example, and it should be closed down.
Bob, thank you very much. Well, so far we're hearing about parking as the main problem with having jails around New York City. Michael from South Bronx United, is crime a concern for you? Because I know that comes up for a lot of people. I don't want a jail near my house, near my apartment building, because, you know, the people going in and out, whether they're the prisoners or whether they're whatever, people hanging around trying to exploit the prisoners, whatever it is, there's going to be a risk of more crime. Is that one of your issues?
That's one of the issues of our community, for sure. Right at the proposed site at Concord Avenue was a development called, it's named Diego Beekman Mutual Housing Association. They have 1,300 units of housing that they worked 22 years to stabilize that neighborhood and that community and that housing development that was a failed project by the city. They took it over, meaning residents, and now they've operated this successfully. And they're battling crime, and they're battling negative consequences to drugs. to drugs being dumped in our communities and to lack of educational stability. We're living in a community that has the poorest performing school district in the city, right? But yet we're at a place where you want to put a jail. So, of course, crime is always is an issue we're fighting. Just recently, the 40th precinct was noted as being the rise in crime in that district in which they want to put this precinct. We don't see that or put this new jail facility. We don't see that as being a deterrent for crime. We see it as an advertisement for more of those type of uses.
So, Harry, in your article, looking at the impact of these 14 correctional facilities that already exist in New York's neighborhoods, did you find increased crime as a result, or is that more of a myth?
Not necessarily. I don't want to say it's a myth, but it was hard to measure any impact. But I do think the concerns that Michael's expressing are very valid. Like, the stakes are much higher for a neighborhood like the South Bronx, which has been affected by a lot of crime. And, you know, maybe it's not necessarily crime, but it's the stigma of incarceration that these facilities are bringing to a community. And that's part of the thing that I think I identified why people aren't happy with the jail is that, you know, it's an ugly thing that we're doing, locking people up. And that's not something you want right next to your kids going to school necessarily.
Stuart in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Stuart.
Hi, I hope you can hear me.
We gotcha.
Good. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a 49-year attorney. I led the first strike for legal aid attorneys. I was a former DA. I think everybody forgets that we had a horrendous situation in Greenwich Village, but maybe it was a good thing. Right on 6th Avenue, it's now a library, was the old Market Street Courthouse. It was a woman's jail. When the neighborhood saw how these women were hanging out the windows and how they were treated, the neighborhood was aware of the deficiencies in the system. There was a hue and cry. It was closed down, but the neighborhood saw what's happening. I go to Rikers Island. I've been going there for 49 years. Nobody sees what's going on in there. I don't want to get into that. You've done mm-hmm. shows on it. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is maybe it's a good thing that it's in the community, especially with this activist around, because he won't let the stuff that goes on go on. The neighborhood will see it, and there'll be a hue and cry, and we'll have the correction system controlled.
That's pretty interesting. And Michael, you may know, as the activist that he's referring to, that in the environmental movement, when there's, you know, the not in my backyard impulse for polluting facilities, some environmentalists say there should be a yes in my backyard impulse for precisely the same reason that Stuart's bringing up with respect to jails. If you have to have the consequences of your waste in effect in your backyard, then it's going to put more of a spotlight on the way we live and put more pressure on people to reduce pollution than if we can hide it away from everybody's backyards. Maybe the same thing is true with jails.
Well, why don't we put it one across from Central Park then, and not put it in a community of color that's been fighting for decades with the negative connotation the South Bronx has because of lack of infrastructure investment from our city and state entities? We're not proposing to do this, you know, where communities are vibrant. This is a new facility you're talking about building. No other community is being asked to shoulder that burden. We show the burden, like you mentioned, for environmental harm, for lack of educational outcomes. We have too many negatives to add on the facade or the representation that this jail is going to bring something positive to us. Like, that's been a mantra for the last 30 years. When Robert Moses started trying to make the communities non-blight, right, and knocking down homes to put in public housing or to run highways through our communities and surrounding us with them, having higher disaster rates due to these top-down decision-making decisions. So I don't see this as a solution. It can't be looked at as a solution for our community. We're being asked to shoulder burdens for the state and for the city that really should not be shouldered on the shoulders of folks who are the less have the least quality of life and less infrastructure for stability.
and you get the last word in this conversation. Michael Johnson, co-founder of South Bronx Unite, a community advocacy group that's been organizing opposition to jail site proposals for the South Bronx as Rikers Island gets ready to close in coming years. And we also thank Harry DiPrienzo, a reporter with City Limits magazine, whose new article is called The Jail Next Door, a look at the 14 jail correctional facilities in New York's neighborhoods. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.